Food prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. I'm Melody Cederstrom, and you're listening to Financial Survival. I'm here with my co-host, Alfred Addis, bringing you opinion and commentary on today's economic and political events on Wednesday, January 15th, 2014. Oh, that's still difficult to say. We're going to be talking about the IRS, how the spending bill is banning some of the IRS targeting. We're going to be talking about some more of the $1.1 trillion budget that they're getting together and everybody's signing and what little it all means. And we're going to be talking about the Wall Street banks and the commodity trade. And, of course, we'll also be talking about gold and silver. But first, let's get to the markets for gold and silver and see what they managed to do today. You have gold down $4.60 for 64 gold at $1,241. Silver's down 11 pennies today at 20.25. Platinum was down 3 at 1433, and you have palladium up 3 at $746. The USDX today is trading a lot stronger today, 0.36, all the way to 8102. That's about as high as they can get it, but you know, they'll have their day. Yeah, the crude oil is up also $1.87 at 94.46, and the paper markets were off strong this morning. The S&P hit another record high. The NASDAQ ended at a 13-year peak, and the Dow gained about 109 points today at 16,481. The NASDAQ was up 31 at 42.14. The S&P up 9 at 18.48, and the 10-year yield was also up 0.01 at 2.88%. You know, the NASDAQ ends up the 13-year peak. You think they'll be talking about gold when in the same manner as they do the NASDAQ when it continues its bull market or the bull run that we have going, although no one sees it in the bull market now, but fundamentals haven't changed. The fundamentals are in the bull market. Good afternoon, Al.
Hi, Melody. No, they won't be. Well, you never know what they'll be talking about, because if and when we get to the end, the real end of a gold bull market, I don't know what the price is going to be of gold, but it's going to be thousands of dollars. Or at least that's certainly my belief that it'll be that high. And what's that going to mean for the rest of the economy, the rest of the world, when gold hits that extraordinary high? It's going to be it's going to mean that everything else is so messed up. and so many other institutions have failed, and so many other investments have failed, that if gold also reaches a peak and then starts coming down again, I suppose for the sake of argument that gold went all the way up to $10,000 an ounce. And some people think it could go way, way higher than that. But let's just pull that number out of the hat. Maybe it's right, maybe it's wrong. All right. By the time gold gets to $10,000 an ounce, where do you suppose the stock market is going to be? What will the value of stocks and bonds be if gold goes that high? And the odds are strong that the average stock will have lost a great deal of value. Average bond will probably have lost a great deal of value. And they'll be, the people who have those are going to be suffering and hurting, but hit that 10,000 mark. And then what if gold starts falling back down again? What then? What if it falls back down to, say, $7,000 an ounce? I mean, and it would be chaos. I don't know where it's going to go. The whole thing, and again, this isn't really ultimately about the price of gold. It's about the value of paper dollars. That's why people buy gold. I mean, gold itself is, you know, a shiny little disc of metal if you're buying a gold coin. It has unusual value precisely because it's an alternative to paper fiat currency, and it's an alternative that in the end has to triumph over the paper fiat currency. But it's the paper fiat currency ultimately that makes the gold desirable, valuable. You know? So the whole thing, you know, all you can do into this, you can peer into your crystal ball and guess what's going to happen in the future. And no one knows exactly. But for those of us who advocate gold, we are anticipating that there's going to be very difficult times in the future. It's not as if we advocate gold from the perspective everyone is going to be happy, and that if you have gold, you're going to skate through what may be several years or more of problems, and you won't have any problem. That's not going to be true. It's going to be a difficult time for everyone, but it's going to be difficult in the same sense that in a starving community, if you've got some food squirreled away, well, you can get through. If in a collapsing economy, if you've got some gold squirreled away, you can survive much better than your neighbors who do not. That's you know, just part of the rationale behind this. And so, I don't know where that all goes, but it's just, when gold gets to the top, wherever that top is, if it gets to the top, the essence of your question or statement, it implies that if it's at the top, then it's going to start to decline again. When that happens, there's going to be, you know, it'll be a wild time. It'll be the Wild West all over again. Hard to say what will really be happening, but how do you predict it? Do you have a prediction of what the world will be like when gold hits a peak? Will we be more stable or less stable?
Well, certainly we'll be less stable.
Yeah.
And I believe, you know, if you take everything away before gold from people, before gold reaches to those levels, it's hard to say what type of social unrest there will be. But people don't react until their bellies are empty. That's when they truly react. So, and all things are relative.
That was back in the old days. Now people truly react when somebody shuts off the internet connection.
Yeah, that's true.
Right? And used to be food. Now it's the internet connection. You mess with the internet connection, and I'm coming out of my little room. I'm going out in the streets, and I may even meet the neighbors or something like that. Hard to say.
When you have high prices, that's why people say to me, "Oh, I wish gold was higher and higher." And I say to myself, "Well, why? This gives you an opportunity to buy more, and all things are relative." I don't want. It will be terrible when gold reaches 3,000
It'll be terrible for a lot of people, but it'll be a lot better. The problem will be those who have gold are going to be a lot better off than those who do not. It will be a generally horrendous situation, however, because what percentage of people have gold right now? And what percentage are even likely to? What's the biggest percentage of people that you think will ever own gold in this country? As an investment vehicle, people have a wedding ring and they've got a few gold, little gold jewelry and there's that. But right now, as an investment vehicle, it's less than 3%, might be 1%.
It's way less. And what people don't understand, too, they say, well, who's going to be there to buy gold? We don't need 100% or 80% of the investment population coming in and buying gold. We just need an additional 1% or 2%. That's what will propel gold to the 5,000 and 10,000 levels. We don't need all those people.
That's probably true. But the point I'm making, we're never going to see a day when 10% of the American people are invested in gold.
Absolutely.
Because there's not enough gold for them to do it, which means 90%, worst-case scenario, 90% of the people aren't going to have gold in a worst-case scenario or even a moderately bad scenario. At least 90% won't have gold. What'll they have? Paper stocks, paper bonds, paper dollars? You know, what will they have? What will they be able to purchase? What
paper
will they be
debts.
Able to hold on?
Yep.
It's all dangerous. It's none of this is fun. I mean, these projections aren't fun. None of it is. In the end, we are preparing for something in the same sense that people on the Titanic might have prepared by making sure they were wearing their life vest. All right? So, everybody tells us the ship can't possibly sink. Everyone tells us this will be the fastest crossing of the Atlantic in history. We got all kinds of interesting information that we hear from, you know, the manufacturers and the people on the boat. But, all right, maybe they're not right. Maybe if I get on this ship, even they call it the SS Titanic and claim that even God can't sink it, well, maybe God can sink it. Maybe it'd be a good idea to hang on to my life preserver. Those who hung on their life preservers, stayed close to them, had a higher probability of surviving than those who did not. And we're in a situation, in my opinion, like that. And we talked a little yesterday about everyone has their own bias, including me. You know, everyone talks about this. We have our bias, whether we're going to be optimistic, pessimistic, whatever. I see gold as an alternative to paper dollars. And I welcome gold. This is part of my slant. It's part of my bias, where I welcome gold in that alternative role. And I do that because the paper dollar, the fiat dollar, has laid the foundation for what might be the destruction of this nation. I understand that if gold goes through the roof, the dollar has to essentially die. And I understand that the result will be chaos within this country. I understand that it will not be an easy ride for anyone, including myself. I don't say, yay, the dollar is going to heck, and I'm going to be, but I'll be okay because I've got a couple of gold coins. That's not my position. My position is that in the midst of 90% of the American people who don't have any gold, if the gold goes up and the dollar goes down, those 90% of people are going to be difficult and dangerous to deal with. I'm not going to be living in some sort of a paradise because I have some gold coins, but I may be in position to survive that problem, and I'm willing to take that risk and assume that level of trouble because I understand, and from my perspective, the fiat dollar has laid at the heart of generating a big government, generating a police state, stripping the American people of their productivity, of their jobs, of their industries, stripping us of our liberties. Government grows. It feeds on paper dollars. It gives them an extraordinary opportunity to simply print money out of thin air. And insofar as they can do that, they're able to become far more dominant than they were ever intended to be under our Constitution. From my perspective, it will be a good thing, a painful thing. That's for sure. I won't like it. but I'm still betting that it's going to be a worthwhile and necessary process for the fiat dollar to die so we can get back and restore some semblance of reality and liberty and prosperity in this country. And it's not going to be easy. But my slant, I'm willing to see the dollar go. I'm looking forward to it. I'm not just here talking about gold because of rah, 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 hooray, gold. I'm talking about gold because rah, 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 a boo, fiat currency. So, anyway, there's my bias, and I'm sticking to it for right now, Melody. Do you have a bias?
China does. China is granting gold import licenses to foreign banks for the first time. And to two foreign banks for the first time as China continues to purchase more and more of the physical bullion.
Yeah, and the article that you're reading from was in Reuters, and it explains that China has granted licenses to import gold into China to two foreign banks for the first time, as moves to open the world's biggest physical bullion market gather pace. And that's the story. Whether or not they open the doors and let a couple of foreign banks import gold into China, well, that's interesting information. All right. But it's not as interesting as the underlying motive. They want to create the world's biggest physical bullion market. And when they do, we're going to find that the price of gold will not be set in London. It won't be set here in the United States. The price of gold will be set in Peking or Shanghai or wherever it is that they have their physical bullion market. They'll determine the price of physical gold, and our own markets, which only determine the price of paper gold and survive because people have falsely equated the price of paper gold to the price of physical gold, those markets are going to be wiped out. And that's the significance. Now we have to wonder, how long is it going to be before China sets up the world's biggest physical bullion market? Because whenever that happens, that is going to mark the end of COMEX and the London bullion markets, because no one's going to care what the price of paper is anymore, paper gold, paper certificates. Nobody's going to want them. Nobody's going to care. They will be at best derivatives if they even exist. And everyone's going to be saying, what's the price of physical gold? And it'll be a lot more than it is today. So that's the news. China's getting ready to set up a physical bullion market, and they're allowing two banks to import gold into China, foreign banks to import gold into China to essentially feed that market. That's the implication of this article from Reuters.
It'd be interesting to know which two foreign banks, but
well, I don't have it in the it was there in the original article. I didn't clip it for part of today's report. I mean, to me, it doesn't matter who they are. It's interesting,
it does.
But it doesn't matter.
Does.
Well, yeah, it does. But
yeah, it does. It makes a big difference if it was J.P. Morgan and, it does make a difference.
I get that, but if it's true that the purpose is to establish the world's biggest physical bullion market, that's the big news.
Because if they were actually the ones getting involved with it, and as much as they hate gold, you can look at it two different ways. Number one, yeah, they're ready to turn the whole market around on the physical, because we both know how much they've shorted gold and silver in the past, and for them to become involved in the physical market, that's a good sign. The other way you could look at it is they're being involved in it in order to stop it from happening, to control gold.
I don't think so.
So it'd be interesting. I can't imagine that China would set up in an agreement with J.P. Morgan or any one of our five or six central banks. But
not under circumstances where anyone thought that the J.P. Morgan or any of the other Wall Street banks were running the show. They might hire on as lackeys, but they're not going to control whatever's going on in China. China's going to make up its own mind about gold. It's going to do it. It's going to generate the price of gold its own way.
They would have some sort of influence one way or another.
Yeah, they might if they were there. But the big point is physical market. physical market. That's where the break comes. When someone starts producing a physical market and we begin to know what the real price of physical gold is, then things are going to change. There's going to be dramatic changes, and no one knows how this is going to work out other than paper gold is going down, physical gold is going up in price. We're going to take a break for some commercial announcements. I'm Alfred Addisk here with Melody Cederstrom. We'll be right back. Please stay tuned.
Stress, financial obligations, or relationship problems have you feeling stressed out? When life is too much to handle, use Apothecary Herbs' emotional stress formula. Feel calm and more in control with herbs especially combined to provide the organic nutrition your system needs to help you cope. Complete instructions for maximum benefit and a money-back guarantee. You've waited long enough. Call Apothecary Herbs now. Toll free 866-229-3663. That's 866-229-3663. International callers dial 704-875-8010 or order online at thepowerherbs.com.
Food prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, and Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
American Voice Radio Network is heard on Galaxy 19 at 97 degrees west, transponder 23, frequency 12115, audio PID 2595. AVR is heard on the left side audio channel, and AVR 2 is heard on the right side audio channel. Remember, both AVR and AVR 2 are on Galaxy 19. Same network, double the choices.
Folks, I'm Alfred Addisk here on Financial Survival with Melody Cederstrom. Program is brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver at 1-800-375-4188. For all your gold and silver coin needs. What sort of a special do you have for them today, Melody?
We have many, many specials here at Discount Gold and Silver. But today's special, Mint State 61 $20 Liberties. You can have a choice of either a Liberty or a St. God's. Now, the Liberties are dated up and including 1907, and the Saints were of the later dated coins. Beautiful coins, Mint State 61s. These are the deal of the century. I mean, here you're getting something that's pre-1933. You're getting something that's guaranteed to be what it is. It's certified by NGC or PCGS. You get profit, the possibility of better performance on the coins. You're getting profit, performance, protection, and privacy. They're only $155 over a bullion coin. Why would anyone for $155 purchase a bullion coin when you can have a Mint State 61 $20 gold piece? My next question is, why would anybody want to purchase a certified, I mean a circulated, an extra fine $20 gold piece when there's really only a $30 difference between a circulated and a mint state 61. So these are great, great prices at $1,450. Even if you wanted to go up to a mint state 62, you're only looking at a $10 difference. So give us a call at 1-800-375-4188. Visit our website at dgscoins.com, dgscoins.com. And, of course, we also have a special on one-ounce Silver Eagles. We have some 2014s, and that special we still have going yesterday with the 90% silver is still available, so they can give us a call.
All right, that's really a spectacular deal.
Oh, it is.
When you're giving away, literally giving away mint state coins for $150, $200 more than the price of bullion coins.
Mm-hmm.
How many times have you seen a margin that small over the years? I mean, you could have had $150 markup 10 years ago, for example, just because the price of physical gold, the price of bullion was low, and the price of coins might have been double. You know, when the price of gold was $150 and the mint state coins might have been $300, it's been $150 markup. All right. But in terms of percentages, what does that translate into a percentage right now? Do you know offhand?
A percentage of what?
Well, however much money you're paying for a bullion coin, what is the additional markup to buy a mint state coin right now as a percentage of the price of the bullion coin? You're paying what? An extra 10%?
Yeah, less than that, I think.
Okay. Well, just say 10%.
No, you're only.
How many times have you seen that in the past? You've been in the business for most of 20 years now, if I understand correctly.
You don't see it very often, and that's why this is a really good deal. I mean, you're really not even looking at hold on a second. You're really...
Do you need a couple more fingers to count that right now?
Huh?
Just tell me how... I've got 10. I've got 10, so if you get over there, tell me how many more fingers.
But no, it really is a very, very good deal. And I think I've seen this perhaps once before where we had the $20 gold piece at such a low price in comparison to gold bullion coins. So, nope, they can give us a call at 800-375-4188. We'll bring all that info at the next break. But
all right. Well, here's something that's interesting. The conceal and carry law outpaces Obamacare in Chicago. Now, this is another story about Americans who are beginning to act in their own self-interest rather than in the interests of big government. Here's the article. It says, on the heels of a federal court striking down Chicago's ban on gun sales, those seeking gun permits in Illinois flooded the state police website over the weekend to begin the permitting process. In fact, the amount of Illinois residents seeking a concealed carry permit already surpasses, this is after just a couple of days, the amount of Illinois residents seeking a concealed carry permit already surpasses the number of people who enrolled in Obamacare after the first 2 months that Obamacare was on the market. Apparently, if you want to stay healthy in Chicago, it's more important to have a gun than it is to have a doctor. But is all of this a sign of a trend? Are Americans, again, beginning to do what's right for themselves rather than what's right for government? Are Americans beginning to wake up to their own self-interests and beginning to act on those self-interests, Melody? Do you think that's possible? Is it significant, or is it just want those guns? Give me a gun. Give me a gun. Oh, well, Melody? Okay, Melody, are you back now?
Yes, I am.
You were missing in action there for a moment because of your microphone. Is that right?
Yes.
Uh-huh.
But I think there's always a certain amount of Americans that will want to do what's right for them. But you have to look at the mass majority of folks, the general populace out there. And no, I mean, I think they might have all different reasons, but I think certainly probably not for the right reasons.
Well, they're at least not buying the government. The government is promoting Obamacare and trying to get rid of guns, and the people are saying, to heck with that. We want the guns, and Obamacare we're not so sure about. So what are you going to say? It appears, so it's just an interesting, it's an anecdote. It's one of those things where you look at it and,
Well, I mean, yeah, if you live in Chicago, I would probably want to have, something to protect myself. I mean, their crime is very high. It's very dangerous in Chicago. So, I mean, you're looking at it as a city, and it was interesting. I saw the mayor on CNBC this morning, along with Forbes, and they're talking about this new technology that's going to be coming. This technical industrial. To bring jobs
magical
back.
Technical industrial magical,
and I mean they're talking about how they want to change the education in order to so people have the skills to be able to go into this technology. I mean, it's like they have to be
insane. What are we going to do? How are they going to change the education where people are able to go into these technological jobs?
They were bringing back the manufacturing to Chicago, and I'm thinking, well,
how are they going to do that without raising tariffs?
But they didn't want to bring the manufacturing back to where people would actually work on the lines. They wanted to, have higher skilled. And it's like, well, manufacturing really was about people who didn't have educations, college educations, and I mean, it was a place where they could work their life, have a good income, and it was just like, I mean, it was...
Those days are bye-bye.
Yes.
And it is part of the problem we have. We can talk about shipping jobs overseas, talk about shipping industries overseas. I complain about that on a fairly regular basis. But even if we brought those industries back, if they had, for every 100 jobs that were in a particular industry... When it was shipped to China, how many of those 100 jobs would still be there if we could bring that industry back to the United States? Would we still get the full 100 jobs, or would we get 50 jobs and 50 more that have been permanently replaced by increases, increased technological efficiencies, robots?
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
the world is a dangerous place. We're putting people under so much stress and pressure that it's certainly dangerous. It's unstable. It's hard to say how this is going to work out. You can't give them jobs and you can't give them welfare. What do you give them? And the answer is the food out of your own cupboard, if you're willing to do so.
Well, they were talking about how they must be listening to our program, because we talk about technology, how it has lost jobs for people. Mm. It hasn't created jobs. It has lost jobs for people. And, of course, they were very much in defense of that. They're very much into, no, technology will create jobs.
I don't agree with that at all.
I don't either, but this was
makes
their,
no sense.
Makes no
it,
sense
although,
whatsoever.
In the short run, it can be true. In this regard... If we were to rebuild factories in this country and we were to install robots in those factories, we could produce products like automobiles and washing machines and computers again, produce our own. And we could produce them at such low costs that we could begin to sell them en masse overseas. By means of technology, we could perhaps compete with the Chinese. We wouldn't have any jobs in this country from the technology, but we would be able to compete by selling lower products, lower priced products, and perhaps even out compete with, overcome the Chinese advantage in cheap labor. Maybe we could do that. And as a spinoff, we'd have more economic activity in this country and perhaps more jobs. But again, there are going to be jobs doing what? Flipping hamburgers, painting people's fingernails and toenails. There's there are problems being faced right now. I don't even know if they're being faced, but there are problems that are coming forward. And maybe they're being ducked right now, but there's problems coming or headed our way that are going to be extraordinarily challenging. And I have no idea how they're going to be resolved. So what do? You know, again, you prepare and try. If you agree with that assessment, you sit back and say, we have some trouble coming our way. What do I need to get through trouble? In the worst case scenario, you need food and water and shelter and, guns and ammunition, gold and silver. There's other things you can put on the list, but...
You know, it's interesting. In their discussions, they were talking about the first thing they needed to do was be independent for our energy. And the question was asked of them about the Keystone Pipeline. They really don't want the Keystone Pipeline. They wouldn't commit to it. But, that's certainly one thing that needed. They said basically that would only help Canada. But it wouldn't. And I think it would help more of the – I think it's more about the North American Union than anything else, because you get that freeway going right up through the center of our country, because that's where the pipeline would go. So certainly it would put, you know, create jobs. I don't think it would do much for, quote-unquote, Chicago. But
it'll create some jobs, but those will be the jobs for building that infrastructure in the first place.
Yes.
There'll be construction jobs and jobs for people driving dump trucks and operating Caterpillars and bulldozers and one thing another in order to make the road, make the pipeline. Yeah, it'll create some jobs, but how many jobs will be there once it's built? And hard to say, but they would be temporary jobs during the construction process. After that, how many jobs would actually be involved? Some, but I don't think it'd be an enormous amount. Let's talk about bitcoins a little bit.
Bitcoins?
Yeah, bitcoins. Don't you remember what bitcoins are? Just a couple of weeks ago, bitcoins went up over $1,000 each. I don't know what they are today. For all I know, they're $2,000 at each, or maybe they're $400 each. I don't know what the price of bitcoins, but it's just struck me as strange that I haven't heard anything about bitcoins for at least 2 weeks. They're not in the news. They're all over the news a month ago, up to maybe 2 or 3 weeks ago, and now just silence. What do you make of that, Melody?
Well, I can't call it inside trading. However, you know, all these guys just get together. They'll run something up. They'll run it down. They'll make money on both sides. So whoever's talking about it the most is the guys that are making the most. And that's what it's all about. You'll see it in other sectors of the market. We saw it in gold. We saw it in silver. You know, that was part of why silver was going to 50. They got into the market and they started pushing the price. And they don't buy the stuff. They buy the paper. They run it up, they drop it, and they make it on both sides. A lot of these guys that do the reporting on a lot of these topics, whether it be bitcoins, whether it be gold, silver, that's what they do. And they might have a belief in the fundamentals, but the true fundamental is how they want to make the most money.
The only fundamental behind bitcoins is it's an alternative to paper dollars.
I'm not talking about bitcoins. I'm talking about when they use gold and silver to run it to certain levels.
Well, it's just evidence to me that perhaps bitcoins are what they really appear to be when you look at them closely, a very peculiar fad.
Mm-hmm.
They are akin to the hula hoop, which many of you will remember from, I can remember as a kid, big deal, boy, had the hula hoop. And, that goes back into the 1950s, I believe. Yeah, that would be in the 1950s. We have the hula hoop. All right, it was a hot thing for a while, and then it was gone. It was there, and then it was gone. In a sense, I think, I'm wondering, 2 weeks isn't enough time. 2 weeks of nothing about bitcoins isn't enough time to prove anything. But it suggests fad. Go ahead.
I'll give you one reason why I'm not talking about Bitcoin in one word. Target. Kind of hard to push something that's online that has,
true.
So that's why you don't hear anything.
That's true.
It's kind of hard to push.
Yeah, that's probably correct. That's exactly right. If they've lost 70 million or 100 million credit cards, debit cards, personal information. They can lose a bunch of bitcoins, too. They're plugged into the same internet as Target likes to use. We're going to take a break for a couple more commercial announcements. I'm Alfred Addis here with Melody Cedarstrom. Please stay tuned. We'll be back in a moment.
Countries have denied internet access for their people during civil strife. The FCC seized in-use commercial shortwave frequencies right after the September 11th attacks. No one communication system can be depended on to be there when you need information. You need choices. You need a Ku band free-to-air satellite system from AVR. The AVR system includes a receiver, an LNB, and a 75-centimeter dish. All you need to get on your own is the coaxial cable. The system is delivered to your door for $149.99. That's right, delivered for $149.99. That's the shipping and the system, $149.99. Call 541-225-4659. That's 541-225-4659. Or visit AmericanVoiceRadio.com and click satellite system.
Since the beginning of the United States, kings have sought it, nations have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it. To secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cedarstrom, on American Voice Radio Network and Shortwave Radio. Visit DiscountGoldAndSilverTrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Call now.
Hi, folks. I'm Alfred Addis, here on Financial Survival with Melody Cedarstrom. Program's brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver, 1-800-375-4188. We've got an article here from Reuters, and the headline is, Worried Fed Seeks to Curb Wall Street Bank's Commodity Trade. Now, this is a very interesting article. We don't know what the real intent is behind this just yet, but the implications, the possible intent, is fascinating. According to Reuters, I'll read a couple of paragraphs from the article. The U.S. Federal Reserve on Tuesday took a first formal step toward restricting the role of Wall Street banks in trading physical commodities, citing fears that a multi-billion dollar disaster could bring down a bank and imperil the stability of the financial system. Now, there's a 19-page report, which I've got a copy of it, issued by the Federal Reserve. And I've only read a couple pages of it. I don't know what's in there altogether. But what they're talking about is they are going to restrict the big banks, the Wall Street banks, from trading in physical commodities. They're going to pass additional rules on this. They have a question and answer period, a comment period that's going to last until March 15th. So if anyone has comments, there's ways you can write to them by email or send them letters and tell them what you think about restricting the central bank's ability to invest in commodities. And again, they're concerned. They are fearful that a multi-billion dollar disaster could bring down a bank and imperil the stability of the financial system. Most of, I won't say most, but of the 19 pages, I believe they're primarily talking about the Wall Street banks investing in crude oil. That's what they talk about. But when we talk about restricting the role of Wall Street banks in trading physical commodities, the Federal Reserve is, in theory, talking about all physical commodities, and in their article, they particularly talk about those that have an undue risk relative to the financial system. Now, what creates a greater undue risk relative to the financial system than gold?
The lack of it.
Or the lack of it. Right? I think, and it doesn't say this in the Federal Reserve's report, 19-page report. But I can't help wondering if the real impetus behind this is a recognition that the Wall Street banks are about out of gold, and they won't be able to continue to sell paper gold products on the COMEX markets. And when people say, well, I don't want to take paper, I want gold when it's time to redeem that paper, I want to take it in the form of physical gold. I think this may be what the Federal Reserve is worried about. They're saying, good God, it may be that the banks get caught. They owe who knows how many thousands of ounces of gold, and it turns out they don't have any. This is where the big split, the big divergence is going to happen sooner or later between the price of paper gold, which the Federal Reserve and the big banks, they can spin it out of thin air, and they can use that to control the price of physical gold. Paper gold can be used to suppress the price of physical gold, and they've done that successfully for a decade or more. But they're running out of gold. The whole thing was based on the idea that people would continue to accept paper gold, paper certificates, promises to pay rather than actual payments. They'd take the paper promises to pay, and they wouldn't bother taking delivery on the physical gold. That's changed. That's no longer the case. People are demanding they buy the paper gold, and then they say, oh, I want physical gold. I want to redeem that for physical gold. And they're running out. I think that may be what the Federal Reserve is responding to. And if it is, they've got a question or a comment period that lasts until the middle of March. And that pretty much tells us that they do not expect that the gold, the physical gold, and the paper gold markets will collapse or diverge so broadly that the paper gold market at least collapses in the first quarter of this year. All right. If we're going to talk about it until March 15th, and then the rules come out, it implies that they might be looking for some sort of a problem in the second quarter of the year, maybe the third or fourth quarters of the year. And we have to presume that the Federal Reserve would not publish their concerns or seek to change the rules for banks investing in physical commodities unless the Fed perceived a very serious risk of financial breakdown in the foreseeable future. Right? They see this. They're not just saying, they didn't just sit around and say, well, what'll we do this week? I know, let's pass some more rules. They didn't do that. They cannot have done that. This is a reaction to a legitimate threat that's perceived by the Federal Reserve system. And they're saying, we got to change the rules. We can't let these banks continue to invest in and thereby manipulate the physical commodities markets. And what do they manipulate more than gold? You know, it's so there's an implication here that The Federal Reserve anticipates a very serious divergence in the price of physical and paper gold in the near future. And if it comes down that way, if that's what they're really concerned about here, then now's the time. Get that physical gold. Hang on tight for how long? 6 months? 9 months? Maybe a year? It's not going to happen. Again, the numbers, the way they put this together, they do not apparently expect some sort of a financial breakdown in the first quarter of this year, because they're taking comments almost to the end of the first quarter. And then they'll pass their new rules and regulations, which they've probably already written up. They might modify them a touch if they see any significant, you know, a predominant form of commentary that comes in, something they didn't expect, where everybody says one thing. I don't know what it might be, but there's 30% of the comments deal with one subject, and they say, okay, we got to do something about that, just to oil the waters, keep public sentiment on our side. But after March 15th, probably before the end of March, be a guess, before the end of March, the new rules will go into effect. I don't know what these rules are going to be, but they are going to restrict. They're going to diminish the ability of the big banks on Wall Street to deal in physical commodities. And that inevitably must mean that the big banks' ability to manipulate the price of gold by selling paper gold, that ability to manipulate has to be diminished, and probably in the second quarter of this year. Maybe in the third, but probably in the second quarter of this year. It could be the third, it could be the fourth. I don't know. I can't. No crystal ball working here today. But the implications are, for me, they're just huge. This is a big story. I doubt that you're going to see it in the mainstream news to any significant effect, to any significant degree. But this is an important story because it may signal that they're getting out of, they can't continue to manipulate. So the rats are leaving the sinking ship. What do you think, Melody? Do you follow what I'm saying here? Does this seem plausible?
Absolutely. I mean, they don't become involved in something if, you know, like you said, they're just not sitting around saying, gee, George, what can we do next?
Yeah.
You also have Janet Yellen coming in. And
yeah.
I think that the timing is interesting.
Yep.
So I'm not sure what to read into that, but
there are going to be changes. There are going to be significant changes. And this strikes me as a huge change. If Wall Street banks can't invest, maybe not at all, I expect they're going to continue to invest in commodities, but not to the same extent they have in recent years. That has to mean that market manipulation of the commodity prices has to be diminished. And that means there's going to be more free market, maybe not a pure free market, but it'll be more free than it's been for the past several years. And that should mean the price of gold is going to go up, up, and up. That would be the way I read it.
Absolutely. What's also interesting is how close are these banks to the point of something, a multi-billion-dollar disaster. I mean, to me, that's not a lot. So it tells me that these banks are not as secure and is not as solvent as they lead us to believe.
Yeah.
So is this something that they're going in now, trying to ward this off just because of how weak the banking sector really is?
I'd say that's part of it.
And the attachment to derivatives.
Well, I don't follow necessarily where the derivatives come in this particular application. I know they're a big cause for concern, but you're right. It's just one more vulnerability for the major banks. And the Fed is apparently saying, look, I mean, the words they have here in the Reuters, they are citing fears that a multi-billion dollar disaster could bring down a bank and imperil the stability of the financial system. Not my words. These are Reuters, and they are essentially paraphrasing what's been said by the Federal Reserve. They cannot put this out. This They can't put this out in a world where people depend on, where the value of the dollar is dependent on public confidence. They don't dare release a report citing fears of a multi-billion dollar disaster. In theory, they don't dare do that without, they can't expect to do it without diminishing public confidence. And insofar as they did issue that report, to me it suggests we are close to something significant. And they're saying this is so bad we actually have to say something about it in advance. So we'll see. We'll learn more as time goes on, but this is an important story. If Wall Street is being pulled out of the commodities market, then manipulation is being pulled out of the commodities market, or at least diminished, and that means prices for commodities like gold are going to go up. Again, you know, this is not so far removed in its own way from the special you were talking about earlier in the program. We're talking about, look, you can get mint state coins for just $150, $200 more than bullion. You get a collectible coin, not just bullion, a collectible coin for just a relatively small premium. It's an almost unprecedented opportunity on a percentage basis. And to me, it parallels this notion that you buy low and you sell high. And right now, if we're getting within, say, 3 months, 4 months, before the Fed pulls the plug on Wall Street investment in the gold market, it means, you know, this is just spectacular buying opportunities right now. And it does imply that they're not going to last much longer. And I'm not just saying that as a sales pitch. I'm telling you, this is the way it appears. I can't tell you it's God's truth, but it certainly appears likely that we're going to see dramatic increase in the price of gold before the end of June this year. That would be a strong implication. Not prophecy, but a strong implication. We're going to see a big jump in the price of gold. Now's the time. If you want to buy low, sell high. We're about as low as you're likely to see it in the near future, maybe ever again. Now's the time to jump in. What else, Melody?
Well, it looks like we're just about at the end of the program.
I guess we are, aren't we?
Yeah, we certainly are. But
we
do have
60 seconds.
We do have Mint State 61 $20 Liberties or Saints for $1,450, and we'll even include your shipping in that price, so it's even a better deal. But you have to take the step. You need to pick up that phone, make the commitment, and give us a call at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Now, we look at all the coins that we sent out. These coins are certified by NGC and PCGS, so you're getting a good quality product.
Well, I understand that. And what else do we have to say on behalf of the product in the next 20 seconds or so?
Bye-bye.
not quite a little bit. All right. Well, in any case, it is about time for us to say bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
We've been here for today. We will be back tomorrow. I want to thank all of you for listening. Hope you'll tune in again tomorrow. In the meantime, may the good Lord bless you, me, Melody, and Frank, the producer. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Still, there never seems to be a single penny left for me.